Beloved congregation, with the help of the Lord, I will preach the word of God this evening by using the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 18, like we have been reading, Lord's Day 18, question 46 till 49. And the theme for the sermon is Christ not with us? Is Christ not with us? Congregation, in the years that we were in South Africa, we heard some stories about families that were very poor, living in a rural area. And then, in all that need, they made a decision that the man, the husband, would, the father in the family, would leave his family behind and would go to the city to get some work, to get a job, to find work and an income. And that he from there, and many times it was a long distance away, far away, but that he would send money to maintain his family and that he would return to his family after some time. But then it happened that his man, indeed, he left his family and he worked in the city and he sent maybe one time some money. But then it happened that he found another woman there, and that he had a new family in the city. And he forgot about his family there in the village far away in the rural area. And they never heard anything from him and never received the money he promised to send anymore. They didn't see him. He totally forgot, if that is possible. Oh, what a terrible thing for that family that was left behind. To be so much disappointed. Such nice promises were made, and they had trusted him, and he left them. Now, where is he? Where is the help, the financial help that he promised to give to his family? How is it possible? Yeah, that is possible. That's how man can behave. That's how unfaithful we can be. Is that the case with the Lord Jesus Christ? When he ascended to heaven, did he leave us to forget us so that we would stay behind helpless? Can that be true? Maybe you sometimes feel helpless. But oh, it's so clear from the Word. And how many times did you, child of God, experience it? That he did not forget his church, but that he is maintaining his church after he ascended into heaven. What does it mean? That he ascended into heaven. How did it happen? Well, the Catechism said it happened in a way that the disciples saw it happen. He was lifted up from heaven before the sight of his disciples, taken up from earth into heaven to be there in the glory of his Father. Oh, that's such a deep thing. When we think about the ascension of the Lord, we see that he is welcome in heaven. That heaven opened its gates to receive the King of life. And in that way it is shown that the Father is satisfied with the redeeming work of the Son, with his atonement. It is enough. There is a full satisfaction. And oh, what a glory was there in heaven when the King, the Lord Jesus Christ, entered heaven. How will the angels have been singing for joy that he did everything that should be done to save the church, to save all the elect, all that would come to the Lord Jesus to be saved by faith. And the disciples have seen it. It was in the sight of his disciples. So, how did it happen, children? It happened in a visible way. With this glorified body. Yes, it was a glorified body. There was no weakness anymore, but it was still a human body. And with his human body, he ascended into heaven. And that is how he is there. Because the angels came to the disciples and proclaimed, told them that he would return in the same way. So in the day of judgment, he will come with the clouds visibly. With his human body. He is now there as man in heaven, in glory. And the disciples who had to give a testimony about Christ, they saw it. So they could testify that it is really, really true. That they had seen it. But then when he ascended into heaven, he didn't go there to leave us alone. That could have felt for a moment that way, when the disciples were gazing to heaven, and now he was gone. But then the angels came and told them that he would return, and we see that they went to Jerusalem, not sad, but with joy in their hearts. Yeah, with joy in their hearts. So they didn't lose him, only the situation changed. He was not there visibly with them, but he still was there for them. He continues there for our interest until he comes again to judge the quick and the dead. So he didn't stop his work. Yes, his work on earth was completed and finished. But he continued in a gloriful way to do his work for his church, for our interest. Yeah. Now it's not like that husband that forgot and that didn't send to maintain. But he is sending what we need on earth to maintain his church. So that one day they will come there with him in glory. Until he comes again to judge the quick and the dead. He will come again. That is the truth. So the church is the bride. And he is the bridegroom. And what does it mean? When the bridegroom has promised to come, how will the bride feel about that? What do you think? Will she just sleep? No, that would not be good. No, there will be expectation. It will be a waiting in the way of expectation. He will come. Now the question comes, if we have a desire in our hearts that he will come. Do we ever pray for that? Do we ever pray that the Lord Jesus will return in glory? Maybe you say, well, no, I would like to experience some nice things on earth. You're going to marry. I would like to experience that and to receive that on earth. Or we are expecting a child, or You know, there can be many things that we want to receive on earth. But do we really believe that this joy, this satisfaction, this glory will be much more than anything on earth when we will see the Lord Jesus? Oh, that let us meditate more about that, what it means that He will return in full glory. It means that there will be no sin anymore. Oh, the church will receive such a deep joy. There will be no tears, no darkness. No one will be afraid anymore. There will be no death, no suffering. Let us pray. How would the bridegroom feel about that if a bride would not, with a strong desire, wait for the bridegroom to come? Maybe we have too much on earth that we do not desire enough because of that. Let us change our way of thinking by the help of the Lord to pray that the Lord Jesus will come. If we see what a terrible thing sin is, then we will have a desire that sin will stop, and that will happen on that day. Maybe you say, but oh yeah, but there are my children, my grandchildren, they are not converted yet, my relatives. How can I desire for a day of judgment? It will be such a terrible day. Yeah. But let's pray that the Lord will confer them. And let's pray that the Lord Jesus will return. The Lord is able to do the one and to give the other. To do both, isn't it? Let's pray both things, that they may be saved, but that also the Lord Jesus will come and there will be no sin anymore. Is not Christ then with us, even to the end of the world, as He had promised? You remember that promise of the Lord Jesus, that He will be with us till the end of the world. He will not forsake us, not leave us. What a rich promise. It means that I will never be alone in my ministry, in my daily life, in my family, in the things that I have to do, that He is so willing to give what I need for my temporary needs, the daily life things, but also for, and especially for my soul. And how? He left us? Is He then not with us? He is in heaven? I cannot see Him? But we have to understand that Christ is at the same time man and God. Christ is very man and very God. With respect to His human nature, He is no more on earth. But with respect to His Godhead, majesty, grace and spirit, He is at no time absent from us. It was so good for the disciples to experience the Lord Jesus walking with them on earth. In His earthly ministry for those 3 years, preaching, giving breaths, to see His hands, His love in His eyes, to see the miracles that He did, and then He left them. But that was for the better. It became only better, because when the Lord Jesus, with His body, went to heaven physically, then He sent from heaven the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is given to all the children of God in the United States, in the Netherlands, everywhere in this world. the Lord Jesus would have stayed on earth physically, he could be at one place as a human being. Now by the Holy Spirit is teaching and guiding all his children. And the Lord Jesus is not only man, he is also God. And in that way, he himself is omnipresent everywhere. So he didn't leave his church with his majesty, his grace, his Godhead, his spirit. He is at no time absent from us. It can be so dark in your life, can it not? It can feel so, you can feel so left alone. Oh, there are those days that you are afraid. And the Lord took his Holy Spirit from you, or that he is against you. Maybe you experience that, but that is not true. It is so clear in the Word of God. He is at no time absent from us. We do not see it. There's a problem with our eyes, with the eyes of faith, that we do not see him, that we do not have that clear sight. It's not that he left. Oh no. Maybe he can take away that strong comfort that you sometimes receive. But he will not leave you alone. That is according to his promise. Maybe you can make by your sins a distance, in such a way that a comfort is going away from your heart, if you are willfully continuing in a certain sin. Oh, then you can experience that the Lord is taking the light and comfort from your soul and giving you a restlessness inside, like David experienced, and we can read in Psalm 32. But isn't that the goodness of God? That in that way we will see how terrible it is to make ourselves a slave of sin again, so that we would not continue in it. And isn't he then in that situation pulling us to return, to repent? Isn't that his love? Although we can experience that his hand is so heavy upon our lives, and it is. But it is his goodness that he is chastising to bring us back, so that we will confess, repent, and be forgiven, to receive the comfort in our soul. So the way we experience it can be different. But it is the promise of the Lord, and it is the truth that he at no time will be absent from us. It is Godhead, his majesty, his grace, and his spirit. He will not forsake his church. What a deep promise. What a rich thing to know that. Do you know that? By experience, that the Lord gave you strength in those situations that you didn't know how you could persevere, how you could endure, but that in a secret way the Lord maintained you, and that there was his strength and his power coming in your heart and soul, so that you don't understand how, but that you received what you needed in the most difficult circumstances, where all things seemed to try to bring you down, where enemies were so strongly against you, to stop your testimony in this world. that the Lord kept you. Oh yeah, that's really true. It's the promise of God, and it's the experience of the children of God. And the Lord is faithful. And that's why the children of God can persevere, even in persecution, in suffering, in times of darkness, when Satan seems to be successful against the church, that the Lord is still there to maintain and to support and to comfort his children. Really what the Apostle Paul is saying in Romans 8, that he knows that nothing, that he is sure that nothing can separate him from the love of God in Christ. Did you see that? Did you ever have that deep joy in your heart that you know or nothing? And all the powers of the world and all the powers of hell can separate me from Christ, from the love of God in Christ. He is there with his Godhead, his majesty, his grace and spirit. Sometimes you can be afraid when you look upon yourself and you see which things are there coming against you. But look upon Christ and remember his promise and see that he overcame Satan and sin and the world and death. So why be afraid? Let us pray that the Lord give us more faith to trust him and to honor him in that way. But if his human nature is not present wherever his Godhead is, are not these two natures in Christ separated from one another? You understand that question, children? The Lord Jesus is one person, but he has two natures. He is God from all eternity. But then when he was conceived in the Virgin Mary and born as man on earth, he had also that human nature. One person, God and man, two natures in one person. And now, if his human nature is in heaven, and his Godhead is with us, are those two natures separated? Is Godhead here on earth, with the church, with the children of God? No, they cannot be separated. And they are not, because his Godhead is unlimited, is in heaven, with his human nature, but it is without limits, omnipresent. So his Godhead is not only in heaven, but also on earth. It must necessarily follow that the same is beyond the limits of the human nature. It is there, with his human nature. Not only there, also beyond the limits of the human nature, he assumed, and yet is nevertheless in his human nature, and remains personally united to it. The background of this question in the Heidelberg Catechism is a discussion in the time after the Reformation. Maybe you heard about that. It has to do with the Lord's Supper. There's a different way of teaching in the Lutheran Church. We know that in the Roman Catholic Church is taught that in the Lord's Supper, when the priest would speak, "This is my body," when he had the bread, then the bread would change literally in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the priest is speaking the words, "This is my blood," then the then the wine would change into the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in the time of the Reformation, they saw, no, this is not good. Because then we make idolatry of the bread and of the wine. And we make as if the one sacrifice of Christ was not enough and had to be done again and again by the priest. That the literal body of the Lord Jesus had to be sacrificed. And so Luther had another teaching, but it was difficult to find the right understanding. And Luther taught, well, it's not literally changing in the body of the Lord Jesus, but the Lord Jesus is there. He's really there. So you're struggling with that teaching. And he said, now it's not changing, that bread is not changing in the body, but the body of Christ is there with, under the bread. And the blood is there with and under the wine. How can that be? If that is true, you cannot see it. How can Luther teach that? But then Luther said, well, the body of Christ changed in such a way that it now had godly properties. It became invisible and also present here on earth. While it is in heaven, it can also be present here with the bread in the Lord's Supper. He tried to find a way to keep it true that the Lord Jesus is really there, but not to make idolatry of the Lord's Supper. Really difficult. And now, the Heidelberg Catechism is against that teaching because Calvin saw it in a deep and right way. He said, no, that's not right what Luther said. And it's such a sad thing that there was a misunderstanding between the reformers. I've read that later on Luther read a book of Calvin and said, well, this is really a wise and God-fearing man. But then it was, in fact, too late already. Things had settled. But Luther thought that, indeed, the Lord Jesus is really there. But not physically. He is there spiritually, with the signs of bread and wine. The Lord Jesus is there, and he can be received by faith. And you receive him, and your soul will be fed by the living bread and strengthened. And that's the right understanding that we believe. And so, Heidelberg Catechism is against the teaching of the Lutheran Church. It says, no, with his body he is in heaven, but with his Godhead he can be with us. His body is limited, is a human body, but with his Godhead he can be with us in the Lord's Supper in a spiritual way. That's good, because if the teaching of Luther was true, that would mean that the body of Christ was changed to receive godly properties, and in that way would no longer be really our human body, the same body that we have. Then we would lose that sure pledge. That's sure earnest that he is there with our body, so that we may that we can be sure that we also will be there physically in heaven one day with Christ. And yet, nevertheless, in this human nature is also his Godhead. But the human nature is limited to heaven. and His Godhead is present on earth. Yeah, it's the Lord Jesus Himself who's gathering His church on earth. That's the only reason that there is a church, by the power of His Word and Holy Spirit. Is He the King of Kings, who with His human body is in heaven, but with His Godhead is on earth, gathering His church in the Netherlands, in the United States, in China, and everywhere on earth where His Word is preached, proclaimed in an honest way, He's using it to save sinners, to save their souls. It's a miracle that the church is still existing. If we see what we have done in the church, we make so much confusion in the church. But the Lord is so faithful and so powerful. He is continuing His work on earth to gather His church till the day that He will return. Oh, how could we ever doubt it? How could it ever be denied that the Lord Jesus is the living one who is on earth with His Godhead, His Majesty, His Spirit? We can see it in the way that He is gathering His church, that He is calling people out of the darkness of sin and superstition to believing, to the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, to confess sin, to humble themselves. Isn't it wonderful that proud people like we from nature are, people who are so caught in darkness of sin and selfishness, come to confess what they did wrong? That's not a natural thing. It's the work of the Lord Jesus, who is on earth gathering His church and maintaining His church by His Godhead, His Spirit, His Majesty. Do you experience that He is doing that in your life also? Are you discouraged? There's no reason to be discouraged. There is a living high priest in heaven. I heard that the first Christian congregations in the first time after the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven, that those first congregations were scorned by certain Jews because they said, "We have a high priest and you do not." That's not true. We have a high priest in heaven who is pleading there, who did bring His own body as a perfect sacrifice to make satisfaction for our sin. Do you know Him? Do you know Christ? Do you know this high priest? Maybe there's a child this evening that said, "Well, how can I know Christ? I cannot see Him." Oh, I would like Him to be on earth like He was in the time of the Bible. And I could see Him. I could go to Him. Maybe He would embrace me like He did with children. I would. Oh, it can be that you think, "Well, what a sad thing that I cannot see Him." But you can see Him, children. You can see the Lord Jesus. How can you see Him? Maybe sometimes your parents tell you a story, isn't it? Before you go to sleep, some parents can tell stories or they read a book. And what can happen, well, when they tell you a story or read a book to you? Sometimes you see it when the children are listening. They are no longer here. They see it happen. What the parents tell to them, isn't it? You see it happen before your eyes. And now the Lord is coming with His faithful word. And the Lord is teaching in His Word Christ to you, children, young people, to parents. That's the way that you can see Him, that you see the Lord Jesus. Did the Lord not explain it in a very clear way by the prophets in the Old Testament? We read some verses from Isaiah 53 this morning. It is as if Isaiah was standing at the foot of the cross. He saw it happen so many hundreds of years before. The Lord showed it to him. We have four Gospels. We have the letters of the apostles to make us see Christ, like drawing it before our eyes. The Holy Spirit is using that so that you can see Him in faith, with your spiritual eyes, with the eyes of your heart. Isn't that a rich thing? That you, children, can experience His arms around you to bless you, to save you, to forgive you. These are not only words, but this is a truth. And how many have experienced it? That the Lord is so faithful and powerful in saving sinners, to reveal Himself so that we know Him. And that is eternal life. That is real life. Like the Lord Jesus says in John 17. This is eternal life. That they know Thee, the real God, and the Lord Jesus that Thou hast sent. Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 57, stanza 1 till 3. Psalter 57, stanza 1, the earth and the fullness with which it is stored, the world and its dwellers belong to the Lord. 57, stanza 1 till 3. congregation, it is written in Hebrews 4 that the word of God is like a sword. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. What does it mean? It means that the word of God can come deeper than a sword can come. A sword can come in your body, but the word of God can come deep into your soul to reveal what is inside. And it can make you so ashamed, isn't it? It needs to happen that sharp sword of God will enter into your life so that you will see what is in your thoughts and the intents of your heart, so that you will not no longer be able to hide yourself before God. If it happens to you, oh, you can be afraid. You can see, oh, I cannot stand before the Lord. He is righteous, and I'm sinful. I have to perish. If the Lord would do with me according to what I deserve. Did you ever see that? Did you ever admit that? But if we would not have the gospel, we would be desperate. Now the word of God says, but we have a high priest. The same chapter, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He is a merciful high priest. Of what advantage to us is Christ's ascension into heaven? First, that he is our advocate in the presence of his Father in heaven. Exactly what Scripture is teaching us. When we read the first letter of John, chapter 2, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Did you sin? Are you bothering about your sins? Is it a burden on you? Do you not know how to solve it in your life? How to be saved? There was a young boy who did a really bad thing, and he was afraid to go home, because he knew what his father would think about it. What did he do? He went to his grandfather. He said, Grandfather, I did it wrong. Please go to my father, speak a good word for me. I dare not go home. And the grandfather did it and helped his grandson in that way. That's how we human beings can do it. Are you afraid? Because you see that God is righteous and you have sinned against him. It is written in the word of God. We have an advocate. Someone who is so merciful, so full of love, that he much more than that grandfather is willing and much more is able to plead for you, the poor sinner who deserves to be punished. But he has the authority to plead in heaven as the high priest. Father, I do not want this one to perish because I paid for him or for her, so that we with boldness would go to the throne of grace. Did you do that? Oh, that you would not stay away. That you would not continue to try to hide your sin. That the word of God would reveal it to you, like that sharp sword. That you would come to this high priest, the Lord Jesus. Like the people in the Old Testament came when they had sinned and they brought their sacrifices, and the high priest, the priest would receive them and bring the sacrifices. Now the Lord Jesus has brought his own body as a perfect sacrifice, and nothing lacking in what needed to be done. He did the perfect payment, satisfaction. Why should you stay away? Why would you stay away? You should come. Today is a day of grace. A day to be saved. Oh, it's really a serious thing. You should not postpone it. We do not know if tomorrow is still the time of grace for us. And there is an advocate with the Father. And there is a sacrifice that is offered at Golgotha. At a cross. What an advantage to know that. Do you believe it? Will you come? That's the first thing. Secondly, that we have our flesh in heaven as a sure pledge that he as the head will also take up to himself us, his members. This fight of faith on earth will not last forever. No, certainly not. It's only a short time. Book of Revelation said it's like 10 days. A certain full time that the Lord knows my times are in his hand. And then I'm sure, I have that assurance in my soul that he will take me to be with him. There's a sure pledge. He is already there, and he has my flesh and blood in heaven. He became like we are. He became flesh and blood to bring us to God. Oh, what a comfort it is. And you become so tired fighting against sin and your old nature, that you would endure, persevere. It's only a short time. And then an eternal glory with him. We have a sure pledge in heaven. It's not only words. It already happened. It's proved. The disciples have seen it. Have given the testimony about it. That's the second thing. He will also take us up to himself as his members. If you know Christ, you are a member of his body. Like my hand is a member of my body. He is the head. And the head, the body is listening to the head. But is also connected to that. And one day we will be in the full experience of being near to him. But now by faith we have that tie, are connected to Him. And you know, what is heaven? What is heaven, children? Heaven is to be taken up to Him. Heaven is to be with Christ. To see Him. To know His full glory. To experience His eternal love. Wherewith He elected me to be saved. And called me. And changed me. And gave me faith. Take up to Himself. And thirdly, that He sends us His Spirit as an earnest, by whose power we seek the things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and not things on earth. So we have a sure pledge in heaven, but we have it also here on earth. In your heart, if you know Christ, there's an earnest that you experience. There's the power of God changing your heart, your will, your desire, giving you a peace that the whole world could not give you, giving you a joy that you couldn't find in the pleasure of sin. Isn't that the great proof of the truth that the Lord Jesus is there sending His Spirit to give me assurance that I for sure will be with Him. There's not only a sure pledge in heaven, there's also that earnest within me. And that changed me before I received that. I was seeking the things on earth. I wanted to have a nice big house somewhere in the most nice area of Netherlands. I wanted to have a good position on earth. But that changed. Nothing wrong with having a nice house or a good position. But is that the first thing that you want? Are you seeking the things on earth? If the Holy Spirit is in your heart, you will seek the things that are above. What is there above? There where Christ sitteth on the right hand. On the right hand, that's nice. Oh, what a nice expression. That means He is having a place of glory. The right hand in the throne of God. And now He makes me seeking the things that are above. What is that? What is there above in heaven? There's Christ. If you know Christ, you see Christ. Read the Psalms. Those who fear the Lord are described as those who seek the Lord. So it will never be that way that you say, well, now I know the Lord, so now no need to seek the Lord. No, those who know the Lord, seek the Lord. Because knowledge here on earth is only partly. Not perfect, not complete. What are the things in heaven? Peace with God, worked by the sacrifice of Christ. He went as the high priest in the most holy place with His own blood. And that blood is so powerful to cleanse and wash me. I seek forgiveness of sin. Maybe you say, well, that's a thing that you receive once and that's for forever. And you have forgiveness of sin. You know your sins of the past and of the today and of the future are forgiven, yeah? The Lord is teaching us to pray, forgive us our sins. We need it every day to experience the power of the blood, to receive forgiveness of our daily sins. Yeah, we need it, so that we would live a new life, to seek the things which are above, the glory of God, not my own glory. That's what I did before. I was so selfish, and I still have a fight against my old sinful nature. That old man is seeking the things on earth, trying to find joy and safety and security in the things on earth. That which the Holy Spirit works in my heart, that is seeking the things above, where Christ is seeking Him and all that is in Him. And the Holy Spirit is taking it out of Christ and by faith giving it to me. And that's the reason that there are times that I experience such a full peace, such a deep joy, such an assurance of forgiveness of sin, such a desire to be with the Lord for all eternity. Oh, what a great truth that we have a high priest in heaven. Do you know him? If you seek him, you will find him more and more. And one day, you will see him like he is. Amen. Let us pray together. Oh Lord, what can we say? There's too much. There's such a fullness in Christ. There is such an abundance of grace and of mercy. For sinners like we are, from birth, from our conception, we are sin. Thou hast given thy life, O Lord Jesus, to pay the payment that we could never pay, so that we would be white as snow by faith alone. Thou art giving it for free, so that we will not boast in ourselves, but that Thou will receive all the glory for all eternity. Oh, what a future! Oh, what a day will it be for the church, those that know Thee by faith, to see Thee like Thee are. O Lord, let a day soon come, and let no one of us be left behind to perish, that we all may sing Thy praise forever. Be with us in this week of preparation for the Lord's Supper, to have communion with Christ by faith, also in the signs of bread and wine, so that we may receive strength for this earthly journey, and one day may enter the eternal rest that is left for the people of God, for the children of God. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt forgive everything that was not according to Thine holy will, but bless Thy word to our souls, so that we may see and receive Thee in our hearts and souls. By the Holy Spirit, be with us, with the youth group, when there is also a discussion, give the wisdom, the unity and the love to listen to thy word. Keep Satan away. Keep us from sin. Forgive us all our sins. Keep us safe on the roads. Protect us. And in this night, help us in this week, in everything that we have to do. We pray it all for Christ's sake. Amen.